All right. Well, let's plow forward fearlessly. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you've done exactly what you promised. You promised to instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go, and you promised to guide us with your very own eye, and that's what we pray right now. We pray that as we move forward and as we continue our study together, that it would become clear. Take over from this very moment, Father, and speak through me, and allow me to explain this in an easy-to-understand fashion. We pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, so we're just going to continue here on this topic of how to use a concordance. And we're in the midst of this process to understand probably what I consider one of the most important tools of Bible study. Outside of the Bible itself, a Strong's Concordance is probably one of the most important tools you will use, closely followed by a Bible dictionary, a good Bible dictionary. Those three tools together are inseparable, okay? So let's go. We've talked about the first four uses of how to use the Strong's Concordance. Let's go on to 5, 6, and 7. Number 5, discover how many times in the Bible a specific word is used. And when I talk about word, I'm talking about a Greek or a Hebrew word. Remember, the Bible wasn't written in King James English. It was written in Hebrew and Aramaic in the Old Testament, and was written in Greek in the New Testament. So what we want to do is when we isolate, when we're doing studies in the original language, one of the things that we want to find out is how many times does this word show up and where? Okay? So number 5 is how many times in the Bible is this word used? If it's used a few times, what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that this is a unique word, number 1. It tells us that maybe we should go to some of these other passages and we need to find out how that author used. Was it the same author? Maybe it was a different author. Now, if it's the same author, that's even better, because now you have a congruence between authors. You know, the same author wrote, you know, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, also wrote the Gospel of John and the book of Revelation. You see? So by finding where, how many times the word is used, it's very important. Let's take an example. I like to give examples here. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You should know this by heart because we've been talking about this a lot in the seminar. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, in your notes, I have actually taken a picture. I know it's not a very good picture, but it is a picture of the Strong's Concordance. So what you do is you look at that word in the King James and you say, well, okay, what does the word inspiration mean? So let's go to inspiration. So you look up in Strong's Concordance, the word inspiration, and there it is. How many entries for inspiration do you get? 2. That's right. And where are they located? One is in Job 32, verse 8. Okay, and that would be, of course, Hebrew, because Job is in the Old Testament. Old Testament was Hebrew and Aramaic. But then you have 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. That's the one that we're wanting to get at, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And what's the number there? 23:15. So you flip to the back of your book and you look at 23:15. I took a picture of it. Again, not a very good one, but there it is. And how do you pronounce that? Anyone want to hazard a guess? Okay, well, if you read the transliteration there, it's theopneustos. Okay, theopneustos. Okay, and let's read it. It's from 23:16. Which is the word theos, pneuma, okay? And then and presumed a derivative of 4154. And it's from theos and pneuma. What is pneuma? Pneuma is the word we get pneumatic. It's we get the word pneumatic. We don't say the P, it's kind of silent. So pneumatic, and that means like an air tool, right? A pneumatic drill or a pneumatic nail gun, okay? So literally it is wind. Pneumatic means wind or spirit, okay? So you have theos and wind. God breathed, okay? So that word God breathed, how many times does it show up? The answer is one time. So you can't really go to any other passage of scripture to try to figure out how that's used, because it only shows up one time. Incidentally, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was writing, this is his last letter that he was writing to this young preacher by the name of Timothy, and he comes up, he's talking about the Word of God, and he's recommending the Word of God, and he talks about the inspiration of the Scriptures, and he uses a word that is never used again, and he basically took two words, put them together, and coined a word. It's God breathed. Okay, so that's significant. So how many times does a word show up? It's significant. Sometimes a word shows up, like three or four times. Sometimes it shows up hundreds, maybe even thousands of times. So it's important to discover how many times in a word shows up. Discovery number six, there is a little typo there, so it should be number six, the next one. Discover where the word is used. And so you can very quickly identify where the word is used. Now, you're at a little bit of a disadvantage if you're using the Strong's Concordance paperback edition, because you will have to actually get out a pen and paper and write down. The numbers are there, but you'll have to write down, go through the whole list and write down individually the text where that word appears. You can do it. It's possible. But if you have an electronic way of doing that, it does it just like that. Okay? So finding out where a word appears is very useful. So let's suppose a word shows up 93 times, but 46 times shows up in one book of the Bible. Is that significant? Yeah. Over half of the entire occurrences happens in one book. So we zero in on that, on these facts. Those are helpful. And then we can ask the question, are there thematic similarities between the usage? Is there a common thread in these passages that helps us to understand how this word is to be used? And then finally, number seven, the last one, trace the roots. So sometimes when you look up in a dictionary definition, you will find that the word comes from other root words. For example, betray. Okay, if you turn the page there, it says paradidomi. Okay, it comes from two words, two Greek words, number 3844 and 1325. And both of these words, para is a prepositional phrase, and didomi is the word, is a verb. Okay, so it simply means to betray. That's one of its many definitions, but you can read all the definitions down there. So you, by tracing back the roots, by identifying what are the root words, that helps us to understand what this coined word means. Okay, so that's how we're able to use this. The seventh way is to trace back the etymology. The etymology means what are the roots of words? Where did words come from? That's etymology. And by using a Strong's Concordance, it says, now this word comes from these two words. So we go back to those two words to try to understand. Are you following? Understand what this word ultimately means. If you get back to the roots, then you understand something about the word that you're looking at. All right. Boy, I feel like I'm out of breath, but I'm going to plow forward here. Those of you who have, by the way, how many of you got my my text message that I sent out today? Good. And if you have your Android, hopefully you were able to download the application. Now, very interesting. I'm using a different application today because I can't hook my phone up to the screen. So I'm using the Apple version of this program. It's similar, very similar, but it's not exactly the same. So, but if you want to follow along with me, I'll try to walk you through this, okay? So go ahead and go to your program. I should mention, maybe I should go back and I'll show you here. For those that would like to download, how many Apple users do we have? We have Apple users? Okay, you have an Apple, you're an Apple user? Okay. If you look down there at the screen, that brown Bible with the little white cross in it, that's the one that you're going to look for in your iTunes, is it iTunes apps? And it has the simple, I think the simple thing that says concordance on there. So that's the one that I'm going to be using, okay? So go ahead and open it. If you have the icon, if you see the icon there with the Bible and Strong's there in your notes, that's the almost exactly the same program except for Android. All right, so let's go to that program right now, and I'm going to switch over here to use this thing. Now, one of the first things that you need to kind of get your bearings, okay, about this program, if you look in the upper left-hand corner, there's those three lines, okay? You touch that three lines, and you will see that there's kind of a menu bar down the left. It says Strong's Concordance, Bible with Strong's. In fact, in the one with the Android, you flip between the two. What it might say the Bible and then Strong's, and so you can flip between those two. You click on that, and then it goes between the two. And then table of contents and so on and so forth. So let's go to the Bible with Strong's, okay? So you click on that. Now you're in Bible mode. There's basically two modes here. One is Bible mode. The other is concordance mode. And this is how powerful it is, because when you're in Bible mode, you can look up different passages. Now, as I remember, okay, let me go back here. Let me go back here to the Bible with Strong's. Okay, there is a way where you can look up, back here. Okay, there is a way where you can look up a specific text. I only know it how to do it. I played around with this while I was at the hospital with my father up in Walla Walla. He was asking me about the program, and so I found this program, and I was so excited, but I had problems trying to look up various passages. You can do it. I know that when you have the Android here, you go to Bible mode right here. You go to Bible mode, and there's drop-down menus. So you hit Genesis, and then you can go to whatever. So let's say we go to Psalms, okay? Psalms 51, verse 10, okay? So there's Psalms 51, verse 10, and it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Now, notice that here, and you can see it up there, it's almost identical, that with each word, there's those little numbers, the little H numbers and the little G numbers. Well, of course, the Old Testament is going to be little H numbers, standing for Hebrew. But if you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or anywhere in the New Testament, they're going to be little G numbers, which means Greek. Those are Greek numbers. So what you do here is that you can click on those numbers and it will bring up the definition. So you click on the number. Let's say in the beginning, this is Genesis 1:1 up on the screen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, the heaven and the earth. Okay, so let's look at beginning, okay? H7225, I'm going to click on that. So I click on that, and what do you know? Reshith, from the same as H7218, the first, and then all the definitions and so on. So, so you can just go through the different definitions. But the nice advantage of being in Bible mode is that you can read in English. But then if you say, I want to know what that word is, then you can click on it and it brings up the Greek or the Hebrew word so that you can see it right there. All right. Now, there is one more thing that if you want to do a word study, okay, this is the second part. If you want to do a word study just on one word, what you can do, if you're in the iPhone or the iPad mode, then what you do is you go and you say, okay, now number 7225, so you click on that, and it says go to concordance. Okay, I want to go to concordance. Now, what I'm looking for is 7225. Okay, so go here, 7225. Of course, that's Hebrew, H7225, and I click on that. There's the word, but notice below it are all the different passages in the Old Testament where that Hebrew word shows up. So three times in Genesis, and two times in Exodus, and Leviticus two times, and Numbers four times, and Deuteronomy six, and so on and so forth. So this is where we're able to see very quickly where the word shows up. And as I mentioned earlier, this becomes a huge advantage for us. All right, so that is the Bible mode. Well, actually, now we've gone into the Strong's Concordance mode. Now, let's suppose we want to look up a word. Give me a word in the English language that shows up in the Bible.
Serpentine.
What?
Serpentine.
Spell it. Okay, seraphim, no. All right, well, let's look up seraphim, okay? So you type in S-E-R, seraphim, okay? S-E-R-A-P-H-I-M-S, seraphim. Okay, so you click on that, and both of those occur in Isaiah. Okay, so you click on Isaiah, and it pops up here, Isaiah 6, verse 2, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. And with twain, or two, he covered his face. And with twain, he covered his feet. And with twain, he did fly. And then again in Isaiah 6, verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. So very quickly, you know, what would take a little bit of flipping in the book, you can do it. You know, there's nothing wrong with the book. The book's great, okay? But now, with an electronic way, you can look up words very easily, and it just pops up right like that. So, again, if you want to identify that word, the seraphim, that's where it shows up. Okay? Let's take another word. Give me another word that occurs in the Bible. What about shield? Like the shield? Okay, shield shows up 45 times. Where does it show up? Well, Genesis one time, Deuteronomy, Judges, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, Psalms shows up a lot in Psalms. Look at that, 16 times. You know, you have 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, you know, here a little, there a little, but then all of a sudden you get to Psalms, and boom, 16. Is that significant? Well, go and find out how David talked about the shield. The Lord is my strength and my shield. Again and again, he talks about how God is his shield. And that's very important to pick up on the on these sort of things. Okay, so essentially, this is how you use an application like your Android or your iPhone or your iPad or whatever it is. You can use this. And so I encourage you to do this. In fact, I do more than encourage you to do this. I've given you homework. I've given you homework. That's right. I'm a former school teacher. And so you should have, I handed them out, and I don't even have an example here, but you should have a single page that has a homework assignment. Please take that home and fill that out. Because this is, again, I can show you all these wonderful things, but if you never get a chance to do it yourself, it's not going to be very helpful. So go home, take it home, play around with it, try a couple different of these methods of Bible study. Just work with it, and let me know next week how it works for you, okay? Okay, is that helpful? I hope this is helpful. Let me just say a few words on Young's, Young's Concordance, because some of you may have a Young's Concordance. Young's changes things up a little bit, okay? Young's also has the words in alphabetical order, just like Strong's, but he's not as exhaustive. Strong's has all of the A's, all of the of's, the and's, the or's, the but's, the every word. I mean, he leaves nothing out, okay? Young didn't, Robert Young didn't go that far, but he did a very thorough job. But Robert Young also did something that was a little bit different. And I'm wondering if I have it here. I thought I had it here. Maybe I don't. Maybe I'll have to. But I can get you a copy of this. But Robert Young did it a little bit differently, because what he did was, when he put a word, he took the original Greek or the Hebrew word, and then he listed each reference under that specific word. So what we're doing right here, actually, Robert Young saw the value of that, and he did it in hard copy. So he puts it right there. So he gives the original word, and then he puts all of the references under that original word. And then he'll put the next word and all of the references under that word. And so that's very helpful if you want to do that kind of a study, but you don't have an iPhone or an iPad or the like. So Robert Young, and he also did something which I thought was very novel, which I was just shocked at, was he parses the Hebrew verbs and into the seven different types of Hebrew verbs. You have the kal and the niphal and the pl and the pu'al and the hiphil and the hophal and the hitpael. Now that's a real tongue twister, but he has all of those, and he has them by number, so you can actually, in a rudimentary way, you can understand what the Hebrew words and how they are translated, which is very interesting. So for the most part, you'll probably be using Strong's, but for those of you who have a Young's Concordance, it's a very powerful tool as well. Okay? Any questions? I see you glazed over a little bit. I was hoping that wouldn't happen, but if you have questions, come talk to me afterwards, and I'll try to clear up any questions that you have. Okay? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you for helping us through this evening, and I just pray that you would inspire us with a fire, a burning desire to know your word. For the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what it's about. So please guide us and lead us. As we move forward, we pray this in your name. Amen.